listening to New England Public Radio News. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is the shortlist NEPR's Week in Review. Joining us today on the line, Ron Chmielis, reporter and columnist with the Springfield Republican newspaper, and veteran Western Mass journalist Dave Eisenstadter. Ron, Dave, thanks for being with us today.
Hi.
Thank you.
This week, some Western Mass sheriffs said with more inmates being released to try to curb the spread of COVID-19 in correctional facilities, some of them have had trouble once they were out of jail. There's been reports of overdose deaths and crimes being committed. Randy Gioia pushed back against those claims. He's with the state's Public Defender's Agency, which has been fighting for early release of prisoners during the pandemic.
Some people die from overdoses after being released from jails, and that's been happening for many years. This isn't something new because of COVID-19.
Ron, what do you make of this?
I think that's a simplistic explanation, because if you're to believe, that rehab has value, and the last two sheriffs in Western Mass and Hampden County have based their entire way of doing things on that, then you can't just discard it and say it doesn't matter. Yes, there have been cases, as the public defender said, but I don't think to the degree. I think this is very disturbing, and I think Sheriff Cochi has a point.
Dave, since the state Supreme Judicial Court first allowed some limited releases, there's been a push to make more people eligible. Is that something the court should consider?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, we should acknowledge that this is absolutely the correct decision, releasing these folks. They're in a dangerous environment in an enclosed area, the prisons. And I think that these sheriffs are pointing out that there is a real dire need for these programs that were underfunded, and they weren't as strong as they should have been in terms of getting re-released into society and having drug rehab programs that that can really help people. That should have been, COVID-19 has really just laid bare a lot of the problems with the societal problems that we have. And these drug rehab programs are just one of them. I mean, we've had a highlight on our problematic unemployment system, as well as our problematic healthcare delivery system. So this is just kind of another example of something being laid bare that should have been shored up a long time ago in better times.
And as the COVID-19 pandemic continues, many cities and towns are requiring or urging residents to wear masks inside essential businesses, or even in some cases, just when going out. Northampton, Massachusetts is one community requiring everyone inside grocery stores to wear a face covering of some sort. Shopper Barbara Plant thinks this is a good idea.
I think it's absolutely necessary, because if we're going to beat this virus, we got to contain it. It's just going to come back with a vengeance if we don't.
And there's a similar order for the entire state of Connecticut. Dave, is this a reasonable requirement from state and local officials?
It is such a tough call. I think that there are some precedents being set here that I really hope are not made into precedents in terms of governmental overreach about what, you're being forced to do. I think that if you look at it kind of from a neutral standpoint, you really shouldn't be ordering your citizens to be, wearing a face mask. Maybe that's something that Stop and Shop could do. At the same time, it's a tough call because, this really is how the virus is believed to be spread. So it's a difficult decision that municipalities and states are having to make. And I really hope that when this is all over, we don't look back on this as some sort of precedent for governmental overreach in the future.
Ron, in the Eastern Mass community of Brookline, officials say they'll issue fines to those not donning a mask. Should the public be able to make the choice of whether they cover their faces?
Well, I can't criticize the communities that are doing this. That is less than a ringing endorsement. But this is an emergency situation. This is not average times, and I think under those conditions, you have to accept extraordinary measures. I don't think the cities and towns should look at this as a revenue source and really bring the hammer down, certainly on first-time offenders, if you want to use that term. But in terms of the overall idea of doing it, I've thought about this. I held out myself on wearing a mask for a while, and I didn't want to be the only person in the store without one. So I went along. And I think this whole thing, we're all in it together. I think there's some truth to that. So even though I understand the concerns, I understand the civil liberties issues that could go long term, but I think we're in a short term emergency now. I think it's fair. I think it's necessary, probably. I just hope, as I say, that they don't use this as an excuse to really lower the boom on offenders, certainly for the first time.
And I should just say, I do think that people should make the decision to wear a mask. That is absolutely, it is something that people should be doing. It makes me queasy thinking about the government forcing people to do things like that.
Also this week, Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker shuttered school buildings for the rest of the academic year, with remote learning continuing on instead. Baker said there just isn't a way right now to safely transport students to school and keep them far enough apart once they're there. Ron, as we've mentioned in the past, you've teach a middle school social studies course at a local Catholic school. Have you been engaging in remote learning, and what's that been like?
Well, it's better than nothing, and it's getting better. I'll say this about teachers in general. Let's exclude me for a moment because I don't want to flatter myself, but I'm trying to. I admire the teachers and at the college level, the professors who are trying to make the best of this situation that nobody could have imagined. And I think when we come out of this, we'll have a better understanding of what we can and cannot do with technology tools. It's not the same. It can't be the same, but it's certainly better than what we would have had a generation ago, which would have been to close the schools entirely. So I have my toe in the water on this, and I think we're all trying. I think the governor's decision was inevitable. I think he tried to hold out, and I respect him for that, but I think it was the right call.
Dave, some superintendents told me that there's plenty of challenges with remote learning, students not having computers or internet, and others who will need to be caught up when in-person learning resumes. How difficult a job will educators face once school doors do reopen?
It's an immense difficult job for anyone involved in this. And I think what's going to happen, I mean, they've already canceled state testing for the year. I mean, in some ways, it seems like it's going to have to be just a whole do-over for the whole year. There is going to be a lot of inequality, inequity in terms of who's getting educated and the quality of that education, just because you don't have those students in the same classroom. So I think that there's going to be a lot of figuring out how to catch up next year, and, you know, probably redoing a lot of the lessons that should have been done this year.
All right, Dave Eisenstetter, veteran Western Mass journalist, and Ron Chmielewicz with the Springfield Republican. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to The Shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. You can also listen to us wherever you get your podcasts or by going to nepr.net/podcast hub. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Radio.